good Erev Shabbos, everybody. It's a very exciting Shabbos that we're going to soon experience. Parshas Vayakha Pekudei, which is Chazak. Parshas HaChodesh. Before I try together various themes and see what inspiration we can draw for ourselves. First, I think we should focus on the basic issue of chronology. We think about the parshios of Tumat Tisaveh, which is the tzivui of the Mishkan, and then Vayakha Pekudei, which is the carrying out of those commandments. We should be familiar with a very simple, basic machlokes between Rashi and Ramban and different mefarshim on either side of the issue. Exactly when did the Torah give the tzivui, the commandment for building the Mishkan and Bigdei Kohuna? So according to Rashi in Parshas Kisisa, the pasuk Vayiten El Moshe, which is when the Torah resumes the narrative of Moshe Rabbeinu getting the luchos, the first luchos, Rashi comments, Ein muktam lucha b'Torah, that the Chet Ha'egel preceded the tzivui of Melechus HaMishkan. So even though when you read the Torah, it sounds like right after Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe goes up the mountain after Matan Torah for 40 days and 40 nights, and you have all the parashiyos of the commandments of the Mishkan, Truma, Tetzaveh, and the first Aliyah of Kisisa, all dealing with matters relating to the Mishkan. According to Rashi, all of this was not given at this juncture when Moshe first went up for the first 40 days, because apparently this could go well with other Rashis. Ela pekudi ha-Mishkan, Mishkan ha-Edus. This is Rashi, what's the Edus of the Mishkan? It's an Edus that Hashem forgave B'nai Yisrael for Chet Ha'egel. So if the whole purpose of the Mishkan seems to be connected to the Chet Ha'egel, it was a way of atoning for Chet Ha'egel, then it wouldn't have made sense to have the tzivui being given before Chet Ha'egel. So therefore you have to assume that the entire section of Truma Tetzaveh and the beginning of Kisisa was not given yet, even though it's written in the Torah before the Chet Ha'egel. It was only after Chet Ha'egel that these parshas were given. The Ramban, on the other hand, generally we know the Ramban likes things to be chronological unless you have clear indication otherwise. The Ramban says that no, after all, the mitzvah of building a Mishkan was meant to be the next natural progression after Matan Torah. The Ramban in Parshas Truma elaborates on the purpose of the Mishkan. It was a way of preserving and perpetuating the Maimed HaSinai, various comparisons he threw us between HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking at Matan Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicating to Moshe b'Bein Shnei HaKruvim. This was the next level. The Klal Yisrael should now be able to have a Shechina resting amongst them, except that when Moshe came down and Shivas of the Tammuz, seeing the Chet Ha'egel, there was not any opportunity to give them the mitzvah of the Mishkan. He had to, in effect, perform damage control, and he had to deal with the after effects of the Chet Ha'egel. It was only after B'nai Yisrael received kapara for Chet Ha'egel, now we get to Parshas Vayakhel. Moshe Rabbeinu just came down from Hasina Yom Kippur the next day, Vayakhel Moshe. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to convey that tzivur that he received the very first time he went up, the first 40 days. This is how the Ramban explains the beginning of Vayakhel, why we have this over here. Now we're ready to go back to that level that we wanted to get to initially. We're going to go ahead with the Mishkan. Now obviously this machlokas has tremendous implications in terms of the philosophical component of the Mishkan. Hashkafically, what is the role of the Mishkan? Is the Mishkan more like a b'di'eved after Chet Ha'egel? Klal Yisrael perhaps needed a Mishkan now, they wouldn't have needed it otherwise. The Sfarno seems to indicate something along these lines. Klal Yisrael needed a physical structure. Ideally, they wouldn't have needed it. But obviously now, in the wake of Chet Ha'egel, it's clear that they needed it. The Ramban obviously sees Mishkan not as a b'di'eved, as a chatchila. Obviously, it's last thing to talk about. But I'd like to pose a different question, and this will bridge the parashas of Vayakha Pekudei with Parshas HaChodesh. A simple question. Okay, according to Rashi, Ein muktam lucha b'Torah. We know that things don't have to follow chronological sequence. Torah can put things in Chumash, which really occur at later points. But obviously, just to say that is not enough. Because there has to be a reason why the Torah would do such a thing. Why would the Torah tell us all about the Mishkan, Sivoy of the Mishkan, if it really wasn't given yet? Not relevant yet. Why would the Torah put it where Torah does it? Why? There must be a reason for why the Torah does something like this if it's, after all, not the proper place for it. And this is a question that Rabbeinu Mechayik addresses. And he says an interesting thought. He says, there's a concept, like Gemara tells us in the Megillah and other places, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in the Kul or Makkah. Kadosh Baruch Hu places the remedy before the illness. So, in that vein, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, now, from the Bina Bachai, it's Mashma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe about the Mishkan, even though it wasn't really necessary until after Chet HaEgel, because Baruch Hu already prepared the refuah before the Makkah, so he already told Moshe about the Mishkan. But see, this idea is not necessarily perfectly satisfactory for Rashi. The way Rashi explains in Parshas Kisisa, the whole tzibui of the Mishkan wasn't given yet. It's only, you might say, on Yom Kippur, when he's about to come down with the second Luchos. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe the third set of 40 days about the Mishkan, because now we're going to have the Mishkan as a kapara for Chet HaEgel, the final aspect of the kapara. So what's the pshat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makdim refuah l'makkah. Bishlama, if talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing something, telling Moshe about the Mishkan. So the refuah is here, the makkah isn't here yet, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu cushions the blow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already a plan to solve the problem that hasn't yet occurred. That's a beautiful idea. I'll give you an example of that. The Gemara Megillah connects this idea to the story of Purim. We just had Purim a few weeks ago. So we have events in the beginning of the Megillah, such as Vashti being killed and Esther becoming queen, and Bigson and Seresh being hanged, and Mordechai's good deed being recorded. All of this happens to save Klal Yisrael after Haman rises to power and the decree is issued against Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. But after all, when these events happen at the beginning of the Megillah, Haman hadn't yet been promoted. So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already put into place the solution before the problem even emerged. So I understand that's the notion that Gemara Megillah tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makdim refuah l'makkah. When it comes to using that idea regarding Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, so if you learn like Rashi, that the tzivui was not really given until after Chet HaEgel, until Yom Kippur, when Moshe is going to come down with Luchos Shnios, Hashem gave him all these commandments that the Klal Yisrael is going to build the Mishkan. So how can you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makdim refuah l'makkah, just from what perspective, that the Torah puts Truma Tetzaveh and First Aliyah of Kisisa in the Torah? What does that mean? So I'd like to draw a very important yisod that I saw mentioned in a couple of places in the Sefer Sam Derech by Rav Simcha Zissel Broida, but he doesn't say it on this particular question. He says it in other areas. Maybe I'll mention one example. In Parshas Vayakel, after all, it's our Parsha. So among those who contributed to the Mishkan were the Nishiei HaEda, and they brought, the Torah tells us, they brought Avni Shom, Avni Miluyim, and the Psamim, and the Shemen. But it's written in the Torah, when the word Vahanasim is written, Chaser Yud. Why? Why is it written effectively? Because the Torah is critiquing them. After all, why did they come last? After everyone else brought with such generosity of spirit, as the Torah describes, they were so excited and passionate, and everyone brought what they had. And then after everything, the Nesiim came along with their contribution. They made a cheshbon. They said, look, we have so much. We're princes. Let everyone bring what they bring, and whatever's missing, the shortfall, we'll take care of. No, that was a nice cheshbon, but the Torah recognizes that there was something lacking in their mesiras nefesh, in their passion, their enthusiasm. And because of that, because they were nis'atzel, they were lazy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah the word nesiim chaser yud. So, okay, nice thought. It says of Simcha Zissel Broida that you see here that if the Torah writes something a certain way, that is a reality. That is a mitzius. This is for posterity, right? We open a Sefer Torah, and this is how it's written. The Torah's manner of conveying information is its own reality. In the same way that we look around the world, and the sun rises in the morning, and the sun sets at night, and there are seasons, and we can look and experience something through our senses, so it is when the Torah conveys something in the form of what the words of the Torah say, and how they are stated. That is a mitzius as well. I want to borrow this idea to explain this point as well, of how the Torah can be matim refuah lemaka in the form of writing parshas Truma Tetzaveh and beginning with Kisisa before Chet HaEgel. True, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even get the mitzvah. Not the way Rabbeinu Bachaya's master, that Moshe got the mitzvah, just that Chai still didn't get it. Hashem only conveyed the mitzvah of Truma Tetzaveh after Chet HaEgel, but the Torah puts it in the Torah before, because there's a mitzius that the Torah writes something a certain way, that's koveya, that makes it creates a reality on its own way, in its own right. Now let me develop this idea further by examining something interesting about the flow of Parshas Bo. We have Parshas HaChodesh that we're going to be reading in the second Torah. If you look at Parshas Bo and the flow of how the Torah describes what's happening at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, I always was struck as a child reading Parshas Bo. I'll tell you why. You're reading a story that begins after seven Makos. Parshas Ve'era concludes Makos Barad. And you have three more Makos to go. And the Manik, of course, is the word Bo. Bo is three, okay? Says Bo other places, but meanwhile you have three Makos to go. Right? Arve Choshech Makos Bechoros. Very exciting story. You're very involved, and you hear how Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, go to Paro, warn him. Moshe comes and warns him about Arba. And so what happens, Arba comes, and Paro's all nervous, and he comes running to Moshe. Get rid of it. Moshe davens. Next Makkah, no warning. Choshech. And again, it gets very hard for Paro. And then you get the sense of a heated, intense encounter between Moshe and Paro. Paro says, never see me again. Moshe says, I won't see you again. And then somehow Moshe finds time to give one more warning while he's there about Makas Bechoros. This is going to be it. This is going to totally break you. It's going to be a night. So we're really into this story. And you're waiting to hear what's going to happen, the suspense. And the Torah kind of brings it all into sharper focus. This is all right before Parshas HaChodesh, right before Kapitel Yud Beis. So the Torah says, kind of bringing it all to where we are now, Moshe the Aaron, Asu Esko Amosim HaElo Lefnei Faro, right before Parshas HaChodesh begins. Moshe the Aaron did everything that they were told to do, by Yechazek Shem Esrei Paro V'lo Shiach Esmei Someyaz. The next thing you'd expect the Torah to tell you is the climax. Now, okay, we need a little background because Bnei Yisrael at that night put dam on the doorpost. Okay, we need to know that. But the Torah does the following. The Torah goes off an excursion for the next 20 psukim. Beginning Kapitel Yud Beis, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Vel Aaron. This is what we're going to be reading in the Maftir. We hear about Chodesh Nisan, we hear about Kiddush HaChodesh, we hear about the Dabu Kodas Yisraeli Mor on the 10th of the month here to take a seh, Karban Pesach, and details of Karban Pesach, details upon details, how it's to be done, the Michsas Nefashos, Ishul Fi Achlo, what type of an animal, this is what it's going to be. This is coming right out of, you might say, Sefer Vayikra. These are details, these are halachos, there are sugyas and gemara, that darshan, sugyas and psachim, of course, darshaning, the words of the Torah, all kinds of halachos. And you have an interchange between Pesach Doros, Pesach Mitzrayim. Some of these details are specific to them, some details are for generations, how they should eat the basar together with matzah and maror, how they can't eat it has to be tzliyesh, and you can't leave it over. And then in the middle of this, all this is going to happen. I'm going to pass through Mitzrayim at this night, and you're going to have the blood on the doorposts. But more about the details, and this will be a chag for generations, and then the mitzvah of eating matzah, and the isur of eating chametz, and bal yiroyah. Bal yimatzah, I should say, bal yiroyah is later. And then again, what is striking about this, that in the middle of an exciting story, imagine you're in chinuch and you're teaching children Parshas Bo, and everyone is waiting to hear, you know, what's going to happen next. And then the next class or two or three is going to be pasuk after pasuk, which are very, you know, nitty-gritty details, and one pasuk, and not, by that point the kids are, you know. And this is what the Torah does. And it's not just here, but if you continue in, this, in the parasha, you get more of that. Vayikra Moshe Kol Zikne Yisrael, and he tells them about what's going to be. And then Vayibachsi Alayla, of course it happens. And the description of the shrieking that occurs that night in Mitzrayim, and the great exodus of Mitzrayim. And then, again, back to some details about Karban Pesach. Zoschu kasat pasach kol benecho yochal bo, kadosh yichal b'chor, parsha at the end, mentioning tefillin and other mitzvahs. What is the lesson? What's the takeaway here? Why is the Torah doing this? The Torah is mixing and matching and bringing together, you know, what you might call narrative, together with the legalistic components of the Torah. We're familiar with both, but Parshas Bo seems to be a way of bringing everything together. So, I think the answer has to do with what we just said, that there really isn't a bifurcation. It's a mistake to think that the Torah is one or the other. The two have a mutually reinforcing relationship. And let me develop this further in the following way. Take the following question that Mepharshim struggle with. That night before Yitzias Mitzrayim occurred, the night of the Seder in Mitzrayim, what are the Kohen Yisrael doing? They're eating Karban Pesach together with matzah and morah. Now, let's understand. That was the first Seder. That was the first Karban Pesach and the first Achilas Matzah. Now, Karban Pesach had to do with taking the lamb, taking the deity of the Egyptians, and making a statement against Avodah Zarah. Makes sense in the context of what they were doing at the time. But eating matzah is a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael for generations. We eat matzah the night of Pesach. We have a Seder. We describe why we eat matzah, and it has to do with the pasuk that comes after this section of Parshas Bo of Kapitul Yudbeis. It's the section that describes Yitzias Mitzrayim, the events that occurred the next morning of the mad rush of Klal Yisrael being, you know, rushing out of Mitzrayim, but Yofu Sabatzik is in Mitzrayim. They had no opportunity to bake it as chametz because of the rush. So why do we eat matzah shumma? Ashum shum hispik b'tzeikam lahachetz. No, that makes sense. We talk about after the story happens. The Chayisol are told, they're commanded to eat matzah the night of the Seder Mitzrayim. Wait a second. Matzah has to do with the story of being rushed out of Mitzrayim. But this is Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. So what does it mean that they're eating matzah before it happened? So you could start saying, we talked about Kadosh Baruch Hu's matin before the makkah, right? Now, there's another idea in matzah. Matzah, we say in the beginning of the Seder, we say, Halach ma'anya, diachol of the son of Arad in Mitzrayim. What does that mean? So the Mepharshim say that Bnei Yisrael were eating matzah the entire time while they were slaves in Mitzrayim. That was their staple. That was what the mitzvah gave them to eat. It was convenient. It was economical. They didn't have to eat as often because that digestion took longer. So suddenly, they're eating matzah the whole time Mitzrayim, and it's associated with galus, with the experience of being slaves. Now Hashem says, eat matzah as a mitzvah one more time, the night of the Seder, in anticipation of the Geula, which of course occurred the next morning with the Madrash, as if to say that Hashem wants all of that eating of matzah, this matzah together with all you've been doing for the last 210 years, the matzah that's been the staple of your food. I want to create a different image in matzah. I want matzah to have an association with Geula, and you'll see why tomorrow. You'll see that, understand that it's as if Hashem was taking the entire experience of Golus and reframing it as experience of Geula. Almost like you would say, he's Makdin Refuah, the Makkah, the Refuah itself and is the Makkah. The Makkah is the Refuah. The very thing that you think is a Makkah, it's really a Refuah, because look, you're going to understand it when you understand. But they didn't know it. Now, the Beis Halevi takes it even a step further. The Beis Halevi in Chumash says that how could Klal Yisrael be told to eat matzah the night of the Seder in Mitzrayim before they've been rushed out? Because he says, we think that eating matzah is just about commemorating the historical event of Klal Yisrael being rushed out of Mitzrayim. So then it makes no sense to give them the mitzvah before it happened. The story didn't occur yet. He says it's really the other way around. It goes both ways. You might say we eat matzah to commemorate the fact that we rushed out of Mitzrayim. But you could turn the tables in the other direction and say, you know why Hashem created a situation of a hasty exodus of Ohisbik Bitzekam? Because Hashem wanted it to be a mitzvah of matzah. Because matzah has its own definition, its own idea. It's a mitzvah that totally transcends and goes beyond the natural story itself. But in order that there should be some situation that matzah can be justified as a mitzvah, Hashem created the story to be something that would match the essence of what matzah is. So instead of saying we eat matzah because of what happened, it's really the other way around. What happened in the way it did to correlate with the mitzvah of matzah. Says the Beis HaLevi, the Ben HaRasha has these questions, Ma Avodah Zos Lachem. Part of what he's bothered by is he doesn't understand if the mitzvah has a reason and the reason doesn't apply. Why are we still doing it? Karban Pesach made sense back in Mitzrayim. Why do we do it now? We don't have a deity of Aser to have to make a statement that it's to nullify it. What are we doing, Hashem? So the answer is given, Bavur Zer Asa Hashem Li. You have it backwards. You think that every mitzvah just has to do with some event in history. You can correlate that mitzvah with and explain the mitzvah through your limited perspective of what you see outside and what happens in the world. Sometimes it's the opposite. Bavur Zer Asa Hashem Li. You know why what happened the way it is? You know why it occurred that we rushed out of Mitzrayim? Because of Bavur Zeh, because of the mitzvah of matzah. There had to be matzah. And there's a mitzvah of matzah Hashem understood before the world was created. There's a concept of matzah, and Klal Yisrael are to eat matzah on Pesach. And therefore Hashem created the events of Pesach Mitzrayim to correlate with that reality of a mitzvah called matzah. And that's the reputation of the Rosh's argument. So this totally takes things and turns them on their head. And this is what I mean when I say that the Torah is its own metzius. It's, we look at things as if, you know, there's just a world and then there's Torah, and the Torah has to mirror what you see around you. But it's really a two-way street. The Torah is informing history, and the Torah is also informed by history, and it's reinforcing in both directions. And this is why the Torah, Dafka, and Parshas Bo, mixes the storyline of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the mitzvahs of Mitzrayim. Because the takeaway is that it's not two separate worlds. They are both realities, and the realities come together, and one influences the other, and back and forth, and back and forth. So it's so appropriate that the very mitzvah that begins Kapitel Yudbeis of Parshas HaChodesh is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh, if you have to choose a mitzvah that illustrates this concept of how the reality in the world and the reality of Torah are mutually reinforcing. It's not that one is first and one is second, but they basically play off each other. What mitzvah personifies, epitomizes that notion, Kiddush HaChodesh? Because Kiddush HaChodesh is a mitzvah in the Torah, but the mitzvah tells us to take time and to create classifications in time. When Beis Din says, Mekudesh HaChodesh, what Beis Din is doing is saying that this day has its status because we declared it so. So that means that there's an interface between the legalistic, the concept of a mitzvah, and everything that flows from that. And if this is Rosh Chodesh, then this means the 2 weeks later is a mitzvah to eat matzah, and this is how every single mitzvah in the Torah based on time is going to result from the fact that Beis Din sanctified a particular day as Rosh Chodesh. But what are we doing? We're taking the raw material of the world, the concept of zman, which is in this world, and the Torah is telling us how to bring together the mitzvah and the reality outside of it. You know, I just want to end basically with a thought of a Tam Shampo Hirsch that is famously quoted in terms of the tension sometimes that we experience between the fact that there's a Torah and then there's a world, and exactly how do they mesh together. The Gemara says in Shabbos that there's a question everybody's asked after 120 years. One of those questions is Kavati Itim Torah. So, of course, the Pashup Shat means they should be Kavya Itim. Every day a person should set aside time to learn Torah, no doubt. So, for Shem Shemurish, of course, he lived at a time where he was battling the Reform Judaism and ideas, of course, where you can adapt, you can strike this from the Siddur, you can change this mitzvah, and do all kinds of things because they don't make sense. So Rav Shem Shapur said, Kavati Itim HaTorah means, have you adapted the times to align with Torah? That's what we're looking for, Kavati Itim HaTorah. Or Chas V'Shalom, done the opposite. You've adjusted the Torah to fit the zeitgeist, to fit what seems to be in, and you know, and accepted as the norm, as politically correct, and so on and so forth. That's our challenge. And I think, Baruch Hashem, we should be rising to that challenge. If there's any nice inspiration that comes beyond the obvious Kavanat Torah that came out of the Chadash Micha, I think that it's also that fact that, Baruch Hashem, we can be proud of the fact that, on the one hand, we are very committed to the Masorah, and anyone who saw the Chadash Micha experience saw that incredible charge that Shachter gave everybody to be loyal to the Masorah. But at the same time, there's a commitment to Klal Yisrael, to influence others, to help whoever might be, wherever they are, who's wrestling with challenges in the world, to be able to bring the Torah out to that world, and to enlighten and to inspire. And the challenge of Kavati Itim HaTorah is always there for us. So I think some of this can be quite for all of us, whether we're in Smicha now or we're going to be in Smicha, in terms of our own daily struggles. And of course, the basic takeaway, the assurance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makdim Mefula Makkah, is also to know that whatever struggles we might have in our life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cushioning the blow. Hashem has our best interests in mind, and He's already creating an opportunity for us to be able to get out of the struggle and to be able to hopefully find a solution and the light at the end of the tunnel when we get there. But it's already in place for us to be able to see the Yeshua when it emerges. Look at Shabbos, everybody.
Where is that?